This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field!
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here. Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee.
Let's go for a little ride.
All right, here we go. It's The Drive. Derek Piper here alongside Trevor Valise. Lante is out today. Still in Arizona, or is he on his way back?
En route back today.
Okay.
It didn't sound like he was having a great time. The only tweet I saw was one kid was sick and one kid had been sick, and they went and saw Illinois lose 29-10 at a bar. That's what I get.
They also went to the Arizona Cardinals-Rams game.
And watched them lose it with a similar score.
34-7.
Yep.
By the way, Isaac Trotter. Isaac Trotter. My bad.
No, you're good.
Alana Inquirer, soon to be Minnesotan.
That's weird to hear.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I appreciate it.
Why are you leaving us?
PJ Fleck, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of sad about it a little bit because this is all I know, and you guys are some of my best friends. Like I love this area, but it's one of those situations where my fiance, she has a job up at Mayo Clinic, and her career is always going to be better than mine.
So she won, is what you're telling us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I respect that.
And she.
I think you won too. You're going to be covering the Vikings and the T-Wolves.
Yeah, I'm going to Vikings, T-Wolves, and high school stuff.
Those are interesting teams to cover.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Dalvin Cook's been my guy for a really long
time. That's true. Yeah, you got him on your fantasy team.
Not multiple fantasy teams, actually, this year. I really went.
I guess you're going to have to drop him for conflict of interest, right, so I can pick him up.
Oh, I didn't even think about
that.
But I don't start the job until in the middle of January.
Ah, darn it. Okay.
So I have him for a couple more weeks. I got to beat Trevor in this thing. We're number one and number two seed in our fantasy football.
We're locked in a battle, yeah.
So it'll be
awesome.
Great.
Well, we got, unfortunately, your last game covering Illinois football at Memorial Stadium was a 27-10 loss to what was 2-9 Northwestern. They take the W on Illinois' home field. We're not going to spend too much time getting nitty gritty on that. It was kind of a domination up front for Northwestern. They ran for almost 370 yards, Illinois 14 yards. We'll go a little more macro on what that means for the full evaluation of the season, how important the bowl game now is. And then I want to talk about Rod Smith. I want to talk about Isaiah Williams. And then also Illinois up front. But Isaac, you were there. You're covering it. Senior day, Bobby Rountree was back. And just playing a Northwestern team that's not very good. They're playing their four-string quarterback. Of course, Brandon Peters is out, Bebe, and all that. What did you take away from that? How disappointing was that?
Yeah, that was really frustrating. I mean, no matter the fact that Illinois is injured, no matter the fact that they don't have any of their starting wide receivers, they don't have their quarterback, Doug Kramer goes out, Illinois needs to win that game. You have to win that game, right? And they didn't get that done. And I think the thing that bothered me maybe the most was that it felt like Illinois came out and they were just going to show up and win. And Illinois is better than what they've been in the years past, but they still can't do that yet and expect to win a lot of football games. So that one was really frustrating. And just this defense that had, you know, manhandled Iowa and had played well against Wisconsin and played well at times against Michigan State, they got pushed around by a Northwestern offense that wasn't good. And it just felt like a lot out of place. But at the end of the day, Northwestern wanted it more than Illinois did. They came out and they showcased that, and now Illinois, they still had the bowl game, but it definitely leaves a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth as you head into this, you know, next month or so before this bowl bid. But I do think, though, that in a few years, we're not going to remember that Illinois lost to Northwestern on senior day. You're going to remember the Wisconsin win. You're going to remember the Michigan State comeback win. And you're going to remember that Illinois ultimately went bowling.
We can talk about Matt Robinson's play. Isaiah Williams got in a little bit late. Talk about, is it a problem that he's not your number two at this point in the season? But going off of what you said, what you're going to remember about this season,
does it matter now? And I'll ask Trevor first. Does it matter now to win or play well at least in the bowl game so that that is your lasting impression going into the offseason? And also, if you lose your this bowl game, you're 6-7 on the year. Does that matter at all in your
opinion? Yeah, I think that's the unfortunate part from an optics standpoint is that you're sitting at 6-4 and maybe you're getting too high on your horse thinking 8-4, win the bowl game and you got 9 wins. You know, come back down to earth a little bit. But 7-5 would solidify winning season for one thing, which I don't know how much difference there is between 7-6 and 6-7, but again, from an optics standpoint, it looks better 10 years from now to hop on Wikipedia and see 7-6 with a bowl win than 6-7 and 3 straight losses to end the season. Because then you look at the 4 wins, and unfortunately to me, I feel like they now have to either compete or win in the bowl game. And it's not like I wasn't expecting them to compete anyways, but if you go in there against a 6-6 Pitt team that hasn't, you know, set the world on fire and you lose 29-10 again, then suddenly you are worried about the optics going into an offseason where now you kind of have to sell that despite you had 3 straight losses, there were those 4 wins before that, right?
Yeah, suddenly you have a lot more questions and you look and say, if we don't get 28 takeaways next year, are we going to be able to be, you know, a 6-win team and a 7-8-win team? You know, we've gone back and looked at the schedule, or I guess gone ahead and looked at the schedule and what this team could potentially do, knowing what they're bringing back and knowing that you're playing Bowling Green, you're playing UConn again, you're playing Illinois State.
You have to be 4-0, right? Yeah. I mean, you've got 3 easy games at home and then at Rutgers.
Right, absolutely. So I'm not going to say – I think the overreaction side is, oh, well, Illinois' 4-game win streak was a fluke. And
I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think it's a gross mischaracterization to call that month a fluke.
Yeah, for sure.
But I also think that it's fair to then look at the 2-game sample size after that. Honestly, I don't even look at Iowa that way.
I agree with you.
Iowa may have been the most complete game they had in that entire month, and it was the only game they lost.
You could argue that they played better against Iowa than they had against Michigan State, against Rutgers, all of those different things. Yeah, it really felt like the Northwestern game was a misnomer, or just like a 1-game off of this team, because they just hadn't played like that for a long time throughout this year. So it was a little frustrating, though. But now as you head into this offseason, you still have ammunition on the recruiting trail. You still have a lot to sell. You still have a ton of seniors coming back next year. At the end of the day, this year was supposed to be the building block year. 2019 wasn't supposed to be the breakthrough year. It was supposed to be the year they took a step forward, and I think they did. Next year is the breakthrough year where you go, okay, we're Minnesota. We can do what Minnesota did because they have a very soft schedule. They have a very soft start to the Big Ten play. And let's be honest, the difference between Tanner Morgan and Brandon Peters isn't all that much. It really isn't.
Yeah.
Like, there,
no,
it really
right.
isn't. So you can have a situation where you can get, say, next year in 2020 with all these seniors and all of your basically your entire offense back, now that's your chance to go.
Yeah, I think the problem for me as a fan is just now that I have to expect something from the bowl game. Instead of just kind of let the bowl game play out and enjoy it. Not that I won't be enjoying it anyways, but, you know, say, like I said, say they get down 17-0 at halftime to Pitt. Then suddenly that starts creeping back in of, okay, it wasn't a mirage, but did they lose most of that sustainability from that 4-game win streak over the last month, and how did that happen? Right? Because that starts to creep in as an offseason concern.
Yeah, you don't want to flop in the bowl game, lose to what was a winless team in the Big Ten Northwestern, fall to Eastern Michigan, lose to a bowless team in Nebraska. All of a sudden, start to question a little bit.
And that would be just about the weirdest 6-6 I've ever seen, by the way, this year. I mean, including a loss to a bad MAC team at home, the winless Northwestern team at home, and then 2 ridiculously good road wins. I mean, that is a very circuitous route to 6-6.
Of course, the flip side is, for a team that has been this on a streak of no bowls, you take the weirdest 6-6 get, wouldn't you?
It's just from an ambiguity standpoint, I would prefer less of it heading into this offseason.
And I really think a big part of the narrative with how you view this team is because they didn't do it the way they were supposed to.
Right.
They didn't get to 6 wins the way we all drew it up. And when they don't do that, it makes you question them because we all go, we do it. We saw the schedules at the beginning of the year. We all chalked up Eastern Michigan as a W. We all chalked up Northwestern as a game they probably should win, have a good chance to win. And we all said they'd lose to Wisconsin and on the road to Michigan State. And they didn't do that. Mm-hmm. So just because they did it differently doesn't change the fact that ultimately their goal this year was to make a bowl game. They did it. I think we got a little bit selfish, maybe per se. Maybe not selfish, because it's okay to have high aspirations. But after 6-4, you go, okay, we can win the Big Ten West. We can do all these different things. Maybe we get into this and this and this and this. At the end of the day, Illinois is a improved Big Ten team, but they're not in the position where they can walk onto the field and beat anybody they play. They can beat teams. They can also lose to a lot of bad teams, too. Yep. And they showed that this year.
I'll pose this question to both of you. Have we oversold how improved or where Illinois is at up front on both sides of the ball? We look at the stats. Illinois is 11th in the Big Ten in yards per rush. That is above Michigan State, who you competed with up front. Of course, they're not maybe Mark D'Antonio typical, yeah, run the ball and all that. Also, Purdue is the last in the Big Ten in rushing. Iowa and Michigan are bottom half in attempts per rush. Minnesota ran for 330 on you. I know they're top five, I think, in rushing yards per game in the Big Ten. Wisconsin is the one where you can point to and say, we held our own against them, and that is a surefire, no doubt, smack-in-the-mouth up-front team. But for Northwestern to do that to you, does that change at all, maybe what we thought? And then also, because we said after Iowa, for Illinois to go in there and out-rush them, that's a typically powerhouse in the trenches.
Yeah, I think we have to separate the trenches a little bit. I think offensive line-wise, I'm not concerned about it at all. I get the numbers weren't great this year running the football, but it still felt like everyone was scheming them up so much to stop the run. And we had, I mean, when you look back on film, I think we had counted that there were like 10 or 11 teams this year showcased nine guys in the box or more at times. So that's really tough to run the football against, especially when you just are outnumbered numbers-wise. Defensive line, though, I don't think the defensive line, I think you got away with it this year. But so there are times where you saw the defensive line get absolutely manhandled, and I'm really concerned about that throughout this offseason, because you lose Jamal Milan, Tymier Oliver, and Kenyon Jackson, who are three of your top four or five defensive tackles. You have Jamal Woods, who is coming off a bad injury. But then you also lose Io Shagbanyo, who had 8.5 tackles for a loss this year.
And he wasn't even, he's not,
is that surprising?
Senior, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little weird, because he is a senior in school-wise, but he's technically a redshirt junior. But I think he just wanted to move on with his life and go to grad school or something. So I get that. I mean,
that's fair. It's just he started, what, 9 games this year?
Right. And it's not like there are a bunch of recruits coming
in. And the table is set for him, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was odd. It was odd. It felt like he was done with football. And I don't know. I obviously haven't ever played football at a high, high level, so I don't know what that feeling is like. Maybe he just felt really beat up. But I think offensive line-wise, to the trenches thing, trenches on the offensive side, I'm still feel good about. Defensively, though, I really think they need to prioritize that this offseason.
I'd agree with that. I hesitate to call Batiku like a mirage, but after those first three non-conference games, obviously the injury seemed to affect him somewhat because he's out for a month and a half, but he's just getting no push. None of those guys are getting push, really. I mean, you know, in the previous games, they've been able to stop running backs on run plays, but how many times have they actually got to a quarterback lately? When's the last time they got a sack?
Yeah, you want to know the stat for Batiku? He had, in the first three games of the season, he had 6 sacks.
Led the nation.
Right. In Big Ten play, he had 2.
Yep.
So it kind of showcases that he also went up against some atrocious offensive lines in Akron and UConn, and he got 5 sacks there. So Batiku is still probably your best defensive end on the roster. Milan is probably your best defensive lineman overall. But Batiku needs another year to get better. And I think he'd even tell you that, too, because he wasn't that good and wasn't that impressive, especially in Big Ten play, because teams were scheming for him. And also, just bull rushing offensive tackles in the Big Ten just doesn't work. You got to have some counters, and he'll have to work on that this offseason.
Yeah, back to that Northwestern game, it was just discouraging to know that Marty McFly wasn't throwing it down the field against you.
Right.
You knew that what they were going to do. They ran 65 times, 378 yards, almost 6 yards a carry.
But that's the problem, is like you're stacking the box, you're putting 10 in the box against them, and they're still doing that.
Yeah.
Like the problem for me from that game, from a macro standpoint, is that there wasn't a flukiness to it. Like Northwestern dominated that game. You know, it wasn't like, oh, you take these 2 plays away and this bad penalty away. No. Like they manhandled you the entire game.
Yeah. They did whatever they wanted. Too. And I think I felt a little bit like Illinois wasn't really locked in. And I think Jake Hansen not being there is a little bit of a key there, because he's that dude that gets in your face and is that emotional leader. And it didn't feel like they were locked in, because there's so many tackles that Northwestern may not have broken. But when Illinois tackled them, Northwestern always fell forward for 2 or 3 more yards.
Yep, especially Marty.
Right. And that mattered so much when Northwestern got 6 first downs by like the nose of the football. Mm-hmm. Even on fourth down, like they had a couple nose of the football. Those extra little couple feet that they would fall forward because Illinois would either miss a tackle or just weren't sure in their tackling really bothered Illinois.
I mean, they were averaging like 4 yards a carry, right, for most of the game, and then they were just doing that every play. So 4 yards, 2nd and 6, 4 yards, 3rd and 2, 4 yards, first down. That's why the first half lasted 60 minutes.
Northwestern ran the ball 65 times. Illinois only had 2 negative plays. 2 tackles for a loss.
See, that just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, if you look at this past month, or honestly, if you look at the season as a whole, they haven't had an atrocious game against the run, I don't think, all season up to this point, unless I'm forgetting something.
Minnesota
was bad.
Yeah.
Minnesota has good running backs.
Sure.
And to say, you know, going into this game, you know, would you take two out of 65 is absurd to me. That you get to them two out of 65 times.
Well, especially when you're averaged 9 tackles for a loss a game.
Yeah,
coming into
right. I mean, that's just a hit rate of like 1%.
Right. Yeah, that's just absurd to think about overall.
And the dual threat quarterback factor yet again.
Yep.
Yet again, rearing its ugly head against Illinois.
Because what did Minnesota do to Illinois? They read optioned them to death, and it worked. You know, Northwestern, you don't necessarily think is a read option, but with Marty's skills being on the ground and not through the air, that's what they're doing, right?
Does it also say a lot about Northwestern to not play that dude for so long, Marty? Like, how do you not play that guy?
There's a lot of reverse what this speaks to moments for me, because you look at Robinson and his struggles, and you go, well, okay, why isn't Isaiah in the game? But then it says, like, well, what does this speak to about Isaiah that they don't think he's better than what I'm watching right now, if that is the case?
Let's hit on that, though. Because, Isaac, you watched both of those throughout training camp. You've been around through practice and covering this team all season long. Is it concerning? What do you think it does say about Isaiah and the fact that wasn't in this position to start this game, or when he was out there didn't have much success?
It really frustrated me that he wasn't put in the game earlier. And I'd like to know what Rod Smith thought about that. And we weren't able to talk with him today because there was no press conference and stuff. We might not get a chance to talk to Rod about that. But he's raved about him throughout the season for what he's done with the mental aspect of the game. And when you need a spark so badly, why don't you do it? Why don't you pull the trigger? And a part of me felt like Rod thought that the game was still a two-possession game for so long, that all it would take is just one drive for Robinson to get it back going, and he led a couple nice
drives.
Which
might have been true.
In the second half. Right. It's not like there were like 9 or 10 or 11 drives, but overall, Robinson was under center for 8 drives. 4 of them finished with a 3-and-out. You got to understand what you're doing there, and you needed a spark, and Northwestern just held the ball for so long that maybe Isaiah was supposed to come in the game early and just couldn't quite get it, because Northwestern was seriously holding the ball for whatever. What did they finish with, 42 minutes of time of possession? That's absurd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can't count on a defense that's going to be out there for like 45 minutes of a 60-minute game. And I suppose, too, potentially that being Rod's point, you know, if Stanley Green gets that interception and there isn't a penalty on that play, suddenly it's a one-score game. But then still, do you have confidence after seeing 4 or 5 drives with Matt to say that after they get that interception, they're going to go down the field and tie the game? I don't.
No. And you, to say what this means for Isaiah long term, I can't judge somebody off of just 2 drives. But I think it is frustrating that, you know, this is your guy. This is the second best recruit that you've had in the Lovie Smith era. And in week 12, you still can't trust him yet to really go out and play. I think that might say a little bit more about what Rod wants to do long term with Isaiah. And maybe he just needs a little bit more time. To be fair, we don't see practice. Lovie Smith shuts that down now, where we don't get to see practice at all. So maybe Matt has been better. And honestly, I trust Rod that Rod's going to play the guy who is better in practice. And if that was Matt, then there's a reason he was on the field. And that's not a good thing in the long term. But now you get 15 practices leading up to a bowl. Now you get another 15 practices in the spring. And that's a lot of work for Isaiah Williams to get.
Yeah,
a lot
no,
better.
You're right.
He's a really smart kid.
It's hard for me to judge him off of, what did he have, like 10 snaps this year?
Right.
I think he had a few drives against Michigan. He had those 2 plays that were negative against Nebraska, and then he had 1 drive here, right? So it's hard to judge too much off of that. But still, you know, the creeping negative Nelly fan in me goes, okay, I haven't seen 1 blip of that special from Isaiah Williams yet. And I don't have to on 15 plays. But
true.
Still, seeing what Matt Robinson brings to the table or doesn't, and knowing that Isaiah may or may not be worse than that right now, it has me a little worried macro-wise, right?
Yeah, as an Illini fan, you got to look at it and say, I know that, you know, no offense to Matt Robinson, at this point in time, I don't want to see him playing meaningful football for us at the quarterback QB1 spot, and he's not going to with Brandon Peters, but the fact that he was above Isaiah is a little bit concerning in your mind. And before we take a break, I want to go macro a little bit on the offense. I got some stats here.
Mm-hmm.
12th in yards per play in the Big Ten, 11th in yards per rush, 11th in passing yards, 13th in sacks allowed, 13th in third down conversion rate, 13th in time of possession, 12th in penalty yards. How concerning, and
that would be my biggest concern in the offseason.
Yeah. And how much of that is on Rod Smith?
I think it's fair to question Rod Smith a little bit this year, but I also think that there were some instances where the offense changed their game plan around because of what their defense was doing. right? They, against Purdue, they tried not to lose the game. Against Rutgers, they tried so desperately not to lose the game. This year, they were really focusing on, hey, let's not turn the ball over because our defense is taking the ball away and setting us up in good positions, and we don't want to give it right back. So I am concerned about it long term, but I think it speaks to a little bit more of the injuries, and I think the continuity that you have next year, because think about it. You have all your wide receivers coming back next year. You have 126 starts on your offensive line coming back next year. You have a running back room that you love, and you have a quarterback who's the best quarterback you've had in Illinois since Nathan Shielhouse coming back, who just threw for 17 touchdowns this year. So you have all of this continuity coming back. Oh, and then you add Luke Ford. Oh, and then you add another developmental year for Daniel Barker. And then you see Casey Washington take a step forward. I think you can see this offense start to round into form a little bit. So the numbers don't look as good as they should, and I thought that the offense would be better. But let's be honest, too, we're comparing them off of the year before when Reggie broke like six or seven massive runs, and Ray J. Bush had a couple massive runs, and Dre Brown had a massive 72-yard run against Minnesota. Those are fluky, and those account for like 360 yards on those six or seven plays, which could change the numbers a little bit and make you look a little bit better than maybe what you were the year before.
I think there's something to be said, and I know, Isaac, you pointed this out, too. You know, Lovie Ball, if you take the ball away and say you get a pick and bring them down to the 15, the offense isn't going to rack up a bunch of yards because they've only got 15 yards to go as well, right? So there's a certain aspect of, like you were saying, Lovie's conservative game plan and Lovie's takeaway style that doesn't lend itself to big offensive numbers. But still, 12th in the Big Ten and all those stats, you should be averaging better than that, even if you have a conservative game plan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to weigh in, 217-359-2255 at the text line. Where are you at with Illinois football after the Northwestern loss? Does it add more meaning to the bowl game? Do you need to see progress or play well, a win in the bowl game after that to finish the season strong? We're going to talk hoops when we come back. But if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can search The Drive 93.5. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to TayandPiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at ESPNCU.com. You can watch us live on YouTube. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at TwoMenChampagne.com for a free estimate.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style, so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
An ESPN Radio Extra Point with Mike Golic, Trey Wingo, and Mike Golic Jr.
We just have to start talking about it, man. New England doesn't have the offense to compete in the AFC. They don't. Whether you're talking about Baltimore, whether you're talking about Kansas City, or whether you're talking about Houston, they don't have the offense to compete right now.
No, they don't. I said, and watching them last night, it dawned on me, because it's not just that the offense is bad, is that even when it does well, the things it does well, like the other teams you mentioned in that run, are entertaining. They're high-flying offenses. There's a lot to write home when you're checking out those groups. The Patriots are the Georgia Bulldogs of the NFL right now. They have a great defense. They've got an offense that most of the time can do just enough to win you the game. But, man, watching it is boring. It is boring as all hell. And that's the point we're at right now, and that's not what it used to be.
Hear more from Golic and Wingo tomorrow morning on ESPN Radio.
Pros, for the brands you trust.
trust to get the job done right, start with Lowe's, because Lowe's has the power you need and at the right prices. Stop in today and pick up a Metabo HPT 1¾-inch 15-degree pneumatic roofing nailer for $40 less, now just $249. And stock up on saw blades and save $4 on a Spider Framing and Construction 7¼-inch 24-tooth steel circular saw blade, now $5.98. Whatever you need to get the job done and every job after, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid 12/5 through 12/11 U.S. only.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
To Sports View. Today's topic, game changers. Makes me think of Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Finally, a simple, efficient way to quote home insurance. Let's go to Colin, who will now try to say something.
Okay, first of all, are you kidding? Never in my life. Okay, when you see stuff like this, look, I'm not the only one who thinks this, although everybody says I am.
Well said, Colin. Well said.
Get right to the point with Home Quote Explorer. It's a game changer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers.
Logic Everyday Community.
I heard about Logic. It's over off Neal Street near Fox Drive.
Let's drop off our children at the kids' camp so we can enjoy dinner at the Everyday Kitchen and Bar.
Good idea. Their food's delicious. And I might try to make that deadline and plug in my laptop in their co-working space after we eat.
Plug in, drop off, drink up, chow down. Logic Everyday Community.
Yes, I love outsmarting and outperforming this daily routine and going into the creative space at Logic.
For details, visit logic.org.
It's the Jeremy Warner Show, weekday mornings from 9 to 11, right here on ESPN 93.5.
Hey, join Diane Ducey on Thursday, December 5th from 4 to 6 p.m. for the grand opening preview party for Crunch Fitness. You'll find Crunch Fitness at 40 East Anthony Drive in Champaign, or the old Toys R Us. Tour their new $6 million, 36,000-square-foot facility. It's a state-of-the-art fitness center. You can meet the trainers, check out their cardio equipment, their group fitness studios, their tanning salons, and more. And you can join Crunch Fitness for $1 down. Memberships start as low as $9.95 a month. You can find out more at crunchchampagne.com. Again, Diane Ducey will be live from Crunch Fitness on Thursday, December 5th from 4 to 6 p.m. for their grand opening preview party at Crunch Fitness, 40 East Anthony Drive in Champaign.
All right, it's The Drive. Derek Piper, Trevor Valise.
From trimming the tree to...
Well. What's up? Need to get my Christmas tree, by the way.
Yeah, it's that time, right? Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
I did.
Lots of food.
Great Thanksgiving. Wait, Christmas tree thing. Are you a real tree guy or are you a fake tree guy?
My fiance has turned me into a real tree guy.
Okay.
I've never had a real tree ever.
I'm a fake tree at the moment, but yeah. I'm sure it'll probably change.
Got to be open to change, apparently.
In a year or two. I bet it will be.
Did watch Four Christmases last night, though. First Christmas movie of the season.
Okay.
I don't know if you're a fan.
I have not seen that one.
I watched Home Alone.
What? I watched Four Christmases? No, I haven't seen it.
Vince Vaughn?
I've actually not seen that either. One.
You guys are killing me.
All right, well, I'm never now going to put it on my list.
Got respect really, for Home Alone.
I have some poor taste in Christmas movies, I guess.
Are you watching Hallmarks?
No, God. Every time I walk in, it's like the same two people from Full House doing the same thing, and I'm like, oh, we're doing this again.
Joey Wagner had an awesome tweet about how he went home for Thanksgiving and there were Hallmark Christmas movies on instead of sports, and I related with it really, really well.
Oh, I totally relate.
It was too similar. I hated it.
It's ringing throughout my house 24/7. It's just this. They're not good because they crank out like 40 of them a month.
Yep.
And credit to them for even having the time to crank out that many, but they're all the same thing.
Same plot.
Home for Christmas, away for Christmas, Christmas in Scotland, Christmas in Ireland. Like, they're all the same thing with the same three people in them.
Yep.
I mean, they must write those scripts in like an hour.
Oh, easily.
It's a machine. They just crank them out.
I will tell you what's not the same, though, boys. It's the opponent of Illinois basketball is about to deal with.
Extremely good one.
After Hampton and Lindenwood, now comes a three-game stretch ACC Big Ten Challenge tonight against Miami, 6 p.m. tip on ESPN2. And then you have number 3 Maryland on the road on Saturday, followed by number 4 Michigan coming to town next Wednesday.
Yeah, Michigan went from unranked to number 4.
And if they beat Louisville,
tomorrow.
Which is a top four matchup, by the way, because it's number one versus number four.
I'm rooting for that because I want to see number one Michigan come to town next week.
That's crazy that they could be number one.
That'd be such a big win, though.
And they didn't just beat North Carolina and Gonzaga. They routed them.
They were up at one point in each game. They're up 20 plus in the second half.
So the Juwan Howard is kind of good at his job thing.
Yeah, I'd say
I guess.
I mean, they're not.
Martelli's
his guys,
a big
right?
piece of that too.
Yeah.
And of course, Beilein's
right.
stock in the pond.
I didn't realize that after he retired from St. Joe, is that right, Martelli? That he joined Howard's staff because he's essentially a head coach.
Right.
As an assistant,
you can even see in the huddles, like he's sometimes drawing stuff up.
Right, right.
But that's so important for a first year coach.
Yeah, for
like,
sure,
that's
yeah.
so vital.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
for Michigan to have that insight of this is who we want as our face, and this is who we want as our, not our brains, I'm not going to say that, because Howard is a great coach. It's clear that what he did with the Heat was really, really good, and one of the better defensive minds down there, and they credit him for a lot of their things. But to have another veteran who knows the college game.
Well, he makes the landing as soft as possible for Howard, right, who is already twice
also
named a recruit in a press conference. Right.
Right? Also, though, we got to give a lot of credit to guys like Isaiah Livers, who stepped up and been a really big piece. He's averaging 17 points a game this year.
Livers is cool, and I didn't expect him to just step into that role completely.
I looked this up. So in a month, Livers has had almost as many 20-point games as Poole had all of last year.
Wow.
He's had three. Poole had four all of last year.
Wow.
He might be one of the most improved players in the country.
But you could argue that Livers is Ignis, right? And then Poole is Eli Brooks / David DeJulius. So they have like all of these guys that come up and plug in. It's like you want that so badly for Illinois where you go, we have this guy coming up that you don't know about and he scores 2 points a game and then he scores 14. It just never happens. But Michigan, they're getting it out of there.
They're like a Hallmark movie. They're just cranking those guys out, right?
They seem to have it all. Length, shooters, they're shooting over 42% from three as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Rim protection with Teske, great point guard players, Avery Simpson. It's a huge stretch for Illinois, a chance to make a statement, but it starts tonight against Miami. Miami's 4-3.
Miami's not good. Okay.
They're not great.
Let's not front
or they're not good.
Miami's not good.
Their last two games, they lost to UConn by 25 and Florida by 20.
And I know the Louisville game was a little bit closer at the end, but they were down big in that game.
Like yes.
40.
Yeah.
Early in that
game. Yeah. So, I mean, let's not fool ourselves into thinking that they're an even middle pack ACC team.
They're not. Even think about this, too. They played Missouri State on a neutral floor and only won by four. They played UCF, who's down this year, and they won by nine. And Florida Atlantic, which is a KenPom team in the low to 200s, and won by 14. So this is not a juggernaut team, but it is a different type of level than what you've been playing the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Illinois responds. They do have good guard play. And they have stretches. The funny thing, and I watched Miami's game against Florida, and it was similar to Illinois, Arizona, in that it was about a 3 to 5 point game with about 13 minutes to go, and they just completely imploded. And in the first half, Florida went on a 17-0 run. Miami didn't score for 5 minutes. Second half, Florida goes on a 12-0 run. Miami doesn't score for 7 minutes.
So that's a combined 29-0 run over 8 minutes.
Louisville also had Louisville was down against Miami in the opener, and they had a 15-0 run. Miami didn't score in 5 minutes. So they have these self-destructing stretches where they can look really good on offense. They can make shots. Chris Likes at point guard is really, really quick. They have a Australian senior, which anybody want to take a shot at?
Dejan Vasilevic.
Vasilevic.
Oh, wow, okay.
He's shooting nearly 44% from three. And then Cameron McGuskey's an Oklahoma transfer. He can score as well. So those three can score. Illinois is going to be challenged to guard the perimeter tonight. But there is a big difference down low between these two opponents.
You also have a former Illinois target, Anthony Walker, who's going to play a little bit of time for Miami tonight, too. You don't remember him?
No, I don't like Miami.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's kind of come to fruition in the last few years that out of nowhere, I just really strongly dislike
it. That's who I wanted Illinois to play a bowl game.
From Shane Larkin and them to, you know, the whole thing with Jeff Thomas and Manny Diaz. Like, I don't like Miami.
Do you like Ed Reed?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they were in the running for Andres Feliz, right? Did he take a visit there? Who was it that took a visit with Larinaga?
Curbelo.
Curbelo, that was it. Yeah, I'm getting my point.
Yeah, those are the final two for Curbelo.
Right, and they're just a thorn in Illinois' side, and it's kind of random, and I don't like them.
Well, hopefully they can exercise some demons out of
it. After you lose to them in the tournament with Larkin, you go down there the next year for quote-unquote revenge in the ACC Challenge and lose by, like, 15.
Yep.
I don't like Miami.
Joe Bertrand, senior here, right?
Yes.
That's an extra senior year.
Yeah.
Here's the bottom line for tonight. A tournament team wins this game.
Yep.
By a lot.
Let's say double digits.
Yeah. The line is 8 or 8.5 now. And I know it just matters getting the win. It will,
it's kind of important to look good because of who you're about to play next.
And the net, unfortunately,
it
groups it by single-digit losses, 10 to 15-point wins, 15 to 20-point wins, so it does matter.
That's a good point.
But you're right. A tournament team wins this
tournament game. Tournament team wins this game. Doesn't mean you're a tournament team if you win this game. It'd be nice to take one of Maryland or Michigan, as tough as that sounds, because your next three Big Ten games, when it resumes in January, would be at Michigan State, Purdue at home, and at Wisconsin.
Oh, my gosh. So you could potentially be 0-5 in Big Ten play.
If you're 1-4 or 0-5 in Big Ten play with no quality wins in the non-conference, because essentially I don't think Miami's going to stick out on a tournament resume.
Missouri's
probably not going to stick out on a tournament resume. That would be a tough spot to be in.
The problem is if it's January 1st and you've played, it would be three top 10 teams in Arizona, Michigan, and Maryland. What if you lose to all of them by 10-plus? Because there's really no shame in it if they're all ranked top 10. But then at the same time, like you point out, the only thing you've got for the committee or anyone else to look at is they beat everybody they should and have lost every quality opponent they played.
Yeah. Grand Canyon's not helping you out.
No. Nope.
They've lost to Davenport, and since Illinois, they lost to Valpo, Fordham, and Purdue Fort Wayne.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
No.
Hawaii's kind of gotten a little bit back together. After losing to Illinois, they beat New Orleans, San Fran, and Hawaii Pacific. They play Oregon on Saturday.
They're not going to beat Oregon. I'm hoping Missouri continues to win for the sake of the strength of maybe a quad two win.
You need that. You need Nicholls State, although they've fallen off a little bit since beating Pitt. They lost to Rhode Island and North Carolina A&T, who's 330 in KenPom. Right.
But you'll still have opportunities to pick up some good wins throughout this Big Ten, because Michigan, we were all kind of down on them a little bit this year. They're better. Ohio State, they're top 10 program. Maryland is a top 10 program. Michigan State is a really, really good team. So you're going to have chances here. Purdue is another good one.
On the flip side of the debate that we were having earlier this year, if it's unfortunate if Illinois doesn't get many cracks at quality wins, at least Michigan being surprisingly this good and Maryland being, I don't know if it's surprisingly this good, but top five in the nation allows you those opportunities for the wins, right?
Is it not funny that it's the first week of December, and there's two top five teams in the Big Ten, and neither of them are Michigan State?
Yeah, that's absurd.
And Ohio State is not far off. I'm actually leaning towards them winning in Chapel Hill this week.
Yeah, me too. I think that they have a really good chance.
Welcome aboard the bandwagon.
we started that one. I will say this, though. It's so funny to see the difference between Illinois basketball in one year, right? Because this year, it's like this year they want to pile up a lot of wins, and we're like, well, where's the quad ones? Where's the opportunities? Last year, it was like, could we please play like North Carolina A&T? Because I'm so done with Gonzaga and Xavier and all this gauntlet of a schedule. It's just like, either really hard or a little too easy, and you're just not sure what's going on here. I'd like a better middle next year.
Remember when NC State came here in Grosses last year and you beat them, I think, by 9?
88-74 by 14.
Dennis Smith Jr.
By 14. Yeah, now that was a better team than Miami, but that was one of those games where, now it didn't ultimately turn out to be true. Shout out to Rutgers at the end of the year. But you see that and you're like, oh, a 14-point win over an okay ACC team, that seems like something a tournament team would do.
Made up for the getting absolutely destroyed by West Virginia and Florida State the games before, right?
Yeah. And then they went
Winthrop last year, that year too?
They did.
And then they went on the road in a neutral site and beat VCU, which is also kind of a weird tournament win.
It was a fun trip.
Nobody was at that game.
No. Thorne, LaRon Black.
Right. But my point is, if you get a win like that tonight, say 88-74 or something, that gives me... I don't know if it makes me feel any better for the next two games, because Miami isn't great, but to see a dominant win over a team that's clearly a tier above the Lindenwoods of the world would make me feel a little bit better, right?
Yeah, it has to. It has to, and we'll see. The fun part of this is now we're going to learn something substantive about this team tonight and the next three games, because let's be honest, they feasted on cupcakes the last four leading up to Thanksgiving and all through that. Both teams are well rested. Miami hasn't played since the 24th and Illinois the 26th.
Wow.
Do you think that helps Illinois?
Miami hasn't played in like 12 days.
Yeah, they lost to UConn a week from Sunday, week back from Sunday.
Do you think that helps Illinois, though?
I don't know if it does.
Not sure.
I don't know if it does.
Especially for a team that has been known to get off to some slow starts.
Because think about it, the Hawaii was 7 or 8 days between games, and they took a long time to get rolling in that one.
Yes, and if Miami's done anything well this year, it's start fast.
Yeah, and watch out for those runs, I guess is what I'd say, in terms of questionable defense from Miami if they give up these 15-0 runs.
Those runs, though, that other teams can go on, for some reason, I have this confidence in Illinois that we won't be seeing a lot of 6 or 7 minute scoring droughts this year, or 4 minute scoring droughts, because you have such an X factor with Kofi where you know, hey, I just throw the ball to him and he's either going to go to the free throw line or he's going to probably make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, that's fair. Like,
or throw it off the rim or the backboard. Yeah. 6 or 7 times, right? Like,
yeah.
Just having that is a nice little, it's a nice little confidence knowing that maybe these long droughts aren't going to be there and you don't have to rely on all these jump shots to go in every single time.
That's
you know?
Fair. I'm also intrigued, and Derek, I want your take on this, I guess, but defensively for Illinois, you haven't really seen the high pressure that is so signature of Underwood so far, right? I mean, I forget exactly what they are in KenPom, but there's something like 300th in turnover percentage forced on defense. I mean,
yes.
It's really low.
268.
Now, right. Now, I don't know if some of that is because you're not going to turn up the high pressure on Lindenwood. You know, I don't know if you start to see that against a Michigan or a Maryland. But so far, we've seen little to none of it.
Yeah. And your fifth, the flip side of it is you're fifth in foul rate.
Right. Right, which is what you were giving up to get those turnovers. So yep. It seems like you've almost gone the reverse way on that in year three. And yeah. It is working.
Yeah. And you can dial it up a little bit. Help me out again, Isaac. Vasiljevic, you're denying every catch from him.
Right.
You got whoever's on him is following him everywhere. You're denying and pressuring him. You got to pick and choose who you want to close out really tough and deny catches and everything. But with Kofi in the middle and Georgie at the four as well, you have some length on the interior that you're willing to play some pack line principles and let it get inside and contest those shots.
Could it be a situation tonight where you see Illinois throw some zone out there to get prepared for Maryland, who they don't really match up with man-to-man wise all that well, and Michigan, who they might not match up well all that well man-to-man with either?
It's possible. It depends, I think, how well Miami does beating you off the dribble. If Chris Likes, who's as quick as any guard in the country, he's 5'7". If he's busting you up off the dribble and getting into the lane, maybe you do that. The problem is with Miami is one of their strengths is shooting the three ball.
Yeah, and you saw that with Hawaii, and you were able to, thanks to the help from Trent Frazier, kind of shut that down. But this it almost actually profiles the same, a long break and a team coming in here that isn't that great. But they shoot the three well, which was kind of what Hawaii was coming in, right?
True. And they'll have a little bit more. Well, Hawaii had some size. You're just going to have some more high major athletes.
Yeah.
And they might have Keith Stone, which I know that's been a joke on a line on Twitter this week. He's a grad transfer from Florida. He's supposed to make his debut for Miami tonight. He's been recovering from an ACL.
So, okay. All right. Well, now I know how tonight's going to go.
Thank you for that narrative. We'll talk more here coming up after the break about some keys to tonight and look at some of the other matchups in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. This is The Drive.
How good are PXG clubs? Golf writers describe them as absolutely remarkable and the best golf clubs out there. Our customers call them insanely good and say they live up to the hype. So what are you waiting for? Step up your game and enjoy golf more than ever. Call 844-PLAY-PXG, 844-PLAY-PXG, or visit pxg.com to book your custom fitting. PXG. Nobody makes golf clubs the way we do. Period.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Holiday Inn Express wants to let you in on a little secret. Members can now get up to 30% off at HolidayInnExpress.com during our Cyber Week sale. We'll even throw in free breakfast. Just kidding. Breakfast is always included in your stay at Holiday Inn Express. Book now and save at HolidayInnExpress.com. Terms apply.
It's that time of year again. Time to pick a pumpkin, drink some apple cider, and break out the flannel. Champagne Outdoors has everything you need for cozy fall days. You'll find jackets, fleece, flannel, boots, and more from brands like The North Face, Patagonia, Columbia, Smart Wool, and so many more. Stop by Champagne Outdoors today for everything you need to enjoy fall in the Flatlands. Visit Champagne Outdoors on South Neal or online at champagneoutdoors.com.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Amazing. It's kind of like being showered with cash from above, which would also be pretty amazing. It's so amazing that millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. They just can't get enough. So whether it's raining down on your head or raining into your bank account, it's your cash back, and Discover is matching it. Discover Cash Back Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/match.
Long's Garage, the oldest auto repair facility in Champaign-Urbana, deals with engine repairs, transmissions, brakes, suspensions, electrical, air conditioning. But one thing they pride themselves on in the one-stop shop for vehicle repairs is tires. Kumho Tires is having an instant rebate sale. If you buy a set of four Kumho passenger tires, you get a $60 credit. If you have a truck and buy a set of four light truck tires, you get $120 credit. So go on to Long's Garage at 503 East Main Street or schedule an appointment at 217-367-3942.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Long Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Hey, y'all, we are giving away tickets to AEW All Elite Wrestling.
A three-pack.
A three-pack coming up this Wednesday, December 4th, State Farm Center. You can witness Chris Jericho, the Inner Circle, Jon Moxley, Cody, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega. We know all those guys.
All here. My favorites.
I know Jericho. That's one more than I know. It's the first live event at the State Farm Center that is not a Illinois basketball game, correct?
Yeah,
broadcast live on TV.
Yeah.
But we are giving you a chance to be there live. Jim Ross, who is the commentator, will be in the building tonight. He's signing autographs for the game I have in front of me. Text Ross, 217-359-2255, for your chance to win a three-pack to AEW on Wednesday.
So Ross for a three-pack.
R-O-S-S, Ross.
And, of course, I will stipulate that you have to actually be able to attend this event.
Yep.
You'd be surprised how many winners we get who then text back, well, I live in Indiana and can't come. So only text in if you actually can go to the event on Wednesday night. Text in Ross.
Fair ask,
yeah.
Ross.
Yeah.
All right. It's the drive, final segment for me and Isaac.
By the way, next hour Isaac is going to be like a best of hour. So I clipped our Adam Miller discussion after he committed.
Okay.
Made sure there was nothing that wasn't up to date in there.
Still relevant.
It's a very evergreen conversation. It's good info. And then I also clipped our discussion about 2020 and the football season that we had last week with Law, because I thought that was a pretty good discussion.
Yep.
And again, it's still relevant. Nothing changed about that discussion. Maybe a little bit towards the negative side after this weekend, but I still think it's a relevant discussion to have. So next hour, because it's only me, I'll be introing the segments, but we'll be playing a little bit of a best of hour since everybody's going to the basketball game. Just FYI.
Sounds good. Thanks for holding it down. Before we do so, let's run through some ACC Big Ten Challenge matchups. And you want to just give our picks?
Let's see who's going to win the challenge, right?
Okay.
So is tonight the only game is Illinois-Miami?
Clemson and Minnesota play tonight as well.
Okay, Minnesota's not good.
So do you want me to list them off?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah.
All right, Miami at Illinois.
That's a point in the Big Ten's favor.
Yes.
I think.
Illinois. Yes. 1-0, Big Ten. Clemson at Minnesota.
That's a point towards the ACC. I don't think Minnesota's very good.
They are not players. They just lost to DePaul. I think they have four losses on the season.
Yeah, they played four high major teams and they've lost all four. I think it's Oklahoma State, Butler, DePaul, and somebody else I'm forgetting.
Yeah, I'm going
some
Clemson.
Some little team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1-1. Iowa. All right, so that's all for tonight. Then tomorrow they have Iowa at Syracuse. That's at 7:00 on ESPN.
Two weird teams because I bet on Syracuse last week and they lost at home to Oklahoma State. In a very non-Syracuse way. And then Iowa goes and beats Texas Tech. I know Texas Tech isn't last year's Texas Tech, but then you got the whole Bohannon thing with them. I guess I'd lean Iowa, but I wouldn't be surprised. This is kind of a toss-up for me.
I'm leaning Iowa as well. I was impressed with the way they played against Texas Tech. I know they followed that up with a loss to San Diego State. But Syracuse zone against a good shooting team in Iowa, I think that bodes well for Iowa.
Yeah, yeah.
2-1, Big Ten. Northwestern at Boston College. I cannot Northwestern in good conscience.
So that's 2-2, right?
Yes, 2-2. Michigan at Louisville. One of my favorite matchups of this.
A national title rematch and a top four match.
Yeah, it's a great one. I'm leaning Louisville just because it's at home, but Michigan's the hottest team in the country right now.
Yeah, I'm going Michigan.
Yeah,
Michigan.
3-2. Big Ten. All right. Florida State at Indiana.
Interesting one because Florida State's played a bunch of guys
And he has played nobody. Literally nobody.
Florida State has played a lot of decent teams and barely won, but hasn't looked all that great.
Right. So what do you measure more highly? Indiana being undefeated but playing nobody, or Florida State playing some high majors and not looking that good?
I'm going Florida State. I'm picking Florida State as well.
Okay, I'll ride with you guys.
3-3. All right. Rutgers at Pittsburgh.
Ugh.
Gross. Pittsburgh, remember, Pittsburgh lost to Nichols State. Rutgers right. has beaten SFA.
Who'll be due transitive property at work here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Eesh.
I don't know.
I'd go Pitt just because they're at home.
Okay, fine, Pitt.
Okay, so what does that make it?
4-3 ACC.
4-3 right? ACC.
Yeah.
Duke at Michigan State. I think Michigan State's the better team.
I agree with that.
Michigan State at home.
Stanley's out for Duke, too, yeah. So I'm going Michigan State.
Duke has looked really vulnerable this year. They really only have two legit scorers right now. I'm going Michigan State. 4-4. Notre Dame at Maryland.
Nah, yeah. Why are they playing each other? I thought it was ranked based on standings finish, right?
Yeah, Notre Dame was pretty decent last
year.
Were
they?
No, they weren't.
No,
they weren't.
And Maryland finished pretty highly. That seems like a mismatch to me. Usually they try to,
that's right. You're
equalize
right.
it, but I'm going Maryland.
Big Ten is up 5-4. Virginia at Purdue.
Virginia. Now that's a rematch of that really great game last year, obviously in the tournament, but Purdue's looked too vulnerable to me.
First to 45, Virginia. 5-5. Four games left on the slate. Nebraska at Georgia Tech. These games.
Come on.
Wednesday,
I can't
pick
Come
Nebraska.
On.
I can't.
Georgia Tech.
I haven't seen a lot of Georgia Tech basketball, so.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you're
right.
It doesn't matter.
6-5. 6-5 ACC with three games to play. Wisconsin at NC State. Wisconsin is ugly. They don't look all that good. I think they win this game.
You're right. To continue the uncharacteristic roller coaster ride that is 2019 Wisconsin basketball, I'm picking Wisconsin.
I can't predict Wisconsin because I've apologized and I've rescinded my apology. I will pick Wisconsin.
Okay.
Okay, 6-6 with two to play. Wake Forest at Penn State.
Penn State.
Penn State. Penn State looks good.
They choked against Ole Miss, but they look
oh,
good.
Oh, boy. That was horrible. But they still look good.
They do.
Yep, they have pieces.
7-6.
7-6 Big Ten coming into the final game, which is the second best game probably of the slate, behind Miami, Illinois, of course. Ohio State at North Carolina.
Ohio State, I'm riding them.
Give me the Buckeyes. North Carolina leans so heavily on Cole Anthony.
I don't think UNC is that good.
Yeah. Ohio State's great defensively, and they have a lot of balance, a lot of pieces that can contribute. I don't know. I was really impressed with UNC against Oregon. Oregon was playing great basketball, and UNC really beat them up inside. So I'm nervous about the size advantage, and it's on the road. I'll go Ohio State to run with you guys, though. Big Ten wins 8-6.
It's going to be a close challenge, though. I mean, there's a lot of even teams. The middle and the bottom gets kind of gross.
I think it'll be a tie. It was a tie last year.
It was a tie last year.
Like, I just look through these matchups, and there's, honestly, the Maryland matchup against Notre Dame is, the one that I'm like, wow, that's really favored in the Big Ten's way. And the second would probably be tonight, Illinois and Miami. I feel like the Big Ten's really favored in that. But the rest of them feel pretty equal.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense because Illinois, we all expected to take a leap after finishing pretty, in the bottom four last year, which is where Miami finished. I just don't understand Maryland and Notre Dame because Notre Dame did not finish anywhere near the top four of the ACC, even though Maryland did finish.
They should be playing Florida State. Notre Dame should be playing against Indiana. Maybe they play already because they have the...
True. Maybe. There had to be some stipulation there because that kind doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
All right, before we go, quick predictions, Illinois versus Miami tonight.
Illinois wins by 10, 80-70.
Illinois 77, Miami 65. I have Illinois 78, Miami 69.
Okay. All right around the same range there.
Yep.
It'd be nice if they came out and won 88-62.
It would be nice. We'll see. Let's learn something about it. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the drive.
40. Wow.
Revenge game against an in-state.
That's exactly why. Okay, all right.
Nice storyline there, Trotter. All right. We're heading over to the State Farm Center. Trevor is holding down for the 5 o'clock hour. We'll see you tomorrow. This is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.